Let the church say amen. Church say amen again. And one more time for the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King. Amen. Mary's baby. We bless the name of the Lord today. It is Christmas Sunday. And I don't know about you, but I'm grateful to the Lord for all that he has done the last 51 weeks. Y'all didn't hear me on that. The last 51 weeks, he has kept all of us through another day's journey.
Thank you, Lord.
And we realize if it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? So we thank God today. We're not going to dismiss for youth church, I believe, right? Mr. White's here with us. And so I think we're going to keep our young people up here in the sanctuary with us as we have this common worship service, this unity service. Amen. Amen. Won't you stand to your feet and turn with me to your Bibles, to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of St. Matthew. And I want to read starting in the second chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. Matthew chapter number 2. Amen. Amen. Say amen. You've located the text. Matthew chapter number 2. As you're turning there, I see a number of wonderful special guests who are here with us. I know a lot of folk drove in, flew in, trained it in, maybe even walked it in. Amen. To get here for Christmas Day with your family. And so if you're visiting out of town and you're here at Shiloh visiting with a family member or friend, just raise your hand. We want to acknowledge all the visitors who are from out of town. See some folk there with the Bond family. God bless you. And so many others with the Bullock family and some others with the Williams family and the Wilder family. It's good to see you. And all the way in the back there in the chapel, God bless you all who are visiting on Christmas Sunday with loved ones and thought it not robbery to come to worship with us today. Say amen. You've located Matthew chapter 2, verse number 1. The Bible reads as follows. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and sanctify the people of God. I will that you pray with me on the title of today's sermon, God Has a Way. And if I were to really just get a little bit more vernacular, I'd say God always has a way. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, that they may indeed be acceptable in your eyesight. Lord, you are our strength. Lord, you are our Redeemer. We ask now that you would save somebody on this Christmas day. Somebody who may be sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shores. Somebody who may never have submitted and surrendered their lives unto thee, O God. Save somebody. Today is our prayer. And for those of us who claim to already know you, Lord, draw us closer unto thee. Convict us to a closer walk with you, that our words, our mouth, our actions, our thoughts may be more aligned to what you're calling us to do and who you're calling us to be. So we love you, Lord, and we bless you. We thank you. Holy Ghost, have your way on this Christmas day. Have your way. Break down barriers. Tear down strongholds. Loose somebody in the name of Jesus. This is our prayer. Let the people of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen. Amen and amen. God bless you and God keep you is my prayer. Ushers, you may take your seat. Today is the last installment of a three-part sermon series that the Lord gave me a month ago. This three-part sermon series was to talk about the three kings of, or three kings in the Bible who represent secular and earthly leadership. And we're going to stand in a moment and sing this hymn, which has anchored this sermon series, We Three Kings of Orient Are. But I want to lay the context again that in this time of undetermined realities, in this unsettling time of transition of national power between a president that has one of the highest approval ratings going out of office of any president in modern times, and a president-elect who's coming in with great challenges of public opinion, much to his own doing because of how he campaigned. And so there are many within our country that are feeling unsettled, feeling scared. If I were Mexican or if I were of Hispanic, Latino descent, I would have concern that the promise that was the anchor promise of this president-elect, Donald J. Trump, which was to build a wall and to have Mexico pay for it and to unleash a deportation force that would take away all immigrants, illegal immigrants in the United States of America, some 10 million of them, and simply dump them back into Mexico and other places of countries of origin. And he initially gave no consideration for children who were born in this country. He gave no consideration to the nuances. He targeted the illegals, aliens, as well as those among that group who have committed crimes within our country. And yet, in his campaign, it bordered on and even devolved into hate speech against not only Mexican Americans, but against minorities of most any racial background, against Muslims, and suggesting the institution of a religious bias test or religious test to come into the country, something America that goes against the First Amendment of the United States of America, that Congress should make no law respecting the establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, that it goes against the very grain of who we are as a country. And his list of offenses went far deeper than that. Women, it amazes me that any woman in America actually voted for him, but they did, a whole lot of them, And the reality is that I don't know what drove this election. Was it hatred for America's first black president, or was it discontent with what would have been America's first female president, Hillary Clinton, or was it simply the radical racial swing from left to right or right to left from many of our white brothers and sisters in the United States of America? It's not just one of those things. It's a combination of all of those things and many, many, many other things that resulted in the election of Donald J. Trump. Some would say, some folk just didn't vote at all because they didn't feel that either one of the candidates was the right candidate. And how many of you know a no vote is the same as a vote? For if you don't cast your vote, it simply then allows for something to happen that you may or may not want it to happen. And so we're living in an era now that is unlike any in modern recent times of presidential transitions of power. This president-elect has intervened in international affairs by involving himself at the United Nations and prohibiting a vote at the Security Council that would have supported the ability for Israel to maintain certain settlements. So this is unprecedented territory that we're in, and unprecedented territory calls for a reminder of an unprecedented God. And so if there was one reminder that I would give you during this time as we end this year, but also end what was a glorious, life-changing, life moment of national reality, America's first black president, as he goes out of office, I want God, give God a praise offering for what God did and even allowing him to get into office. And as he goes out of office, and as the president-elect comes into office, we, the people of faith, I'm not just talking about regular Americans, I'm talking about the people of faith, I'm not even just talking about those of every faith, I'm going to be specific and talk about Christians, Judeo-Christians, those whose hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness, those of us who claim to be blood-bought believers, I appeal to you today that you would stand up and remind yourself of who you are and whose you are and the God that you serve. And the God that you serve still sits high on the throne, is high and lifted up. And I don't care who's in the White House, and I don't care who's in your house, God is still on the throne. And that gives me a certain sense of security, of knowing that no matter what has happened, whatever be tied, God will make a way somehow. And so I use these three kings, the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, and today the king of Rome, Herod, to remind us that those three kings are not the three kings we talk about in today's text. They're not the three kings we talk about in the song we're about to sing in a few moments. But these three kings, Pharaoh, Nebuchadnezzar, and Herod, all represent earthly power and secular reign. But I need someone to understand that God is bigger than any Pharaoh. God is bigger than any Nebuchadnezzar. God is bigger than any Herod. And I don't care what person is in the state house. God bless Governor Christie. And I do mean that. God bless him, that God may do something to his heart to help him realize some of the things that he has done to hurt people along this journey. I hope he would realize that there is a God who is looking out for the least, the last, and the lost. The White House, the State House, the Mayor's House, No matter what earthly power is the king, I want you to know that there is another king. Come on, somebody. And that king is the king we call Jesus. It is that king that was born in a manger, born on and laid in a manger, and laid in swaddling clothes. It is that king who we celebrate today on this beautiful Christmas morning. And so we're going to stand and sing these We Three Kings of Orient Are. Let's stand together. And the song, the hymn is in your hymnal, but we also have it on the screen. And I invite you to simply share with us. It is not only a timeless Christmas classic, but it for me speaks about God's sovereignty, God's power over all that is on the earth. Choir shall lead us as we sing this song today.
We bring gifts of glory and honor.
Bearing gifts. This song is literally the incarnation of this text that we find here in Matthew chapter 2. Deacon Ross read earlier in our service from Luke chapter 2, which is the alternate version of this nativity scene. It is the alternate version because it features shepherds as opposed to Magoi or Magoi or Magi or what we've come to refer as the kings. And yes, there are two nativity versions of Jesus' birth in the Bible. It is similar to two creation versions that you find in Genesis and two versions of kings that you find in the Chronicles and in the history books. The Bible is replete with God speaking to not just one man or woman, but to multiple men and women. And how they heard God is what they wrote, and how they presented what was divinely inspired does not make the gospel contradict itself, does not make the word somehow in opposition to itself. It is simply filling in a greater sense of the divinity, the sovereignty, and the providence of Almighty God. So whether it is the Matthean version, which I read from and preach from today, which talks about Magi or the three kings, or it is the Lucan version, which is the version of the shepherds who were out in the field and went to see the baby Jesus, both stories are full of majesty and power. But this story is unique because these three kings come bringing gifts to Jesus, because they understood that whatever happened in the atmosphere, whatever they witnessed in the cosmos, whatever star they saw was unlike any other star that they had seen before. And I just stopped by on Christmas morning to say to my brothers and my sisters here at the Shiloh Baptist Church, I don't care if you're black, white, red, or brown. I don't care if you're gay, lesbian, straight, questioning, or transgender. I don't care if you're rich or poor. I don't care if you're urban or suburban. You've got to see the star of Jesus for yourself. Come on, somebody. You can't rely on somebody else's vision. You can't wear somebody else's glasses. You've got to see the star for yourself. Because the reason for the season is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, didn't say just rich folk, whosoever, didn't say just poor folk, whosoever, didn't say the folk who go to Baptist churches or Presbyterian churches, didn't say the New Jerseyans or the Massachusetts. No, it said whosoever, didn't say the rich man or the poor man, didn't say the gambler or the beggar, didn't say the corporate boardroom or the crack house dealer, didn't say what the stipulation was, whosoever believe shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why these doors of Christ Church are always open. I don't care where you come from. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you did last night or early this morning. You can come into the house of God. Because why? The house of God is a place you go to get well and not a place you go after you get well. Can I say that one more time? A lot of us think we're going to wait until we get it all together before you come to church. Baby, brother, I'm here to tell you, you're going to be waiting a long time because you never going to get it all together. The devil's going to have something he's going to mess with you with which he's going to mess with you. Let me correct my grammar. Amen, somebody. I did go to college. The devil's always going to find a way to tempt you, always going to find a way to challenge you, always going to find a way to try to trip you up. That's why you got to come into the house of God, because here is where you find grace and mercy. Here is where you find God's righteousness and God's sovereignty and God's power over all of your baiters and your backstabbers. God has a way of taking care of his own. But we, the people, must submit ourselves. Submit ourselves. Can I say it again? Arrogance is not submission. Thinking you can backdoor people is not submission. Thinking you can pull the rug from under people's feet is not submission. Thinking you can smile in folks' faces but stab them in the back is not submission. The kings had everything going for them. Rich, y'all. They had frankincense and myrrh and gold to give. Some of us don't have a dime in our pocket, but we think we're all that in a bag of chips and a can of Coke. And yet they who had it going on didn't mind submitting themselves because they saw something in the cosmos. And I need someone here today to realize that God is calling for the submission of his people. It is not your ability, it is your availability. And if you just present yourself before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he can use anybody for anything, for any time, anywhere to get his will done. Submission to the will of Almighty God. And that, my brothers and sisters, is the opposite, the antithesis of what these other earthly kings did. Pharaoh was not submitted. Nebuchadnezzar was not submitted. Herod in Matthew chapter 2 was not submitted. And because of their non-submission, God had to mess with them. I already told you how God sent frogs and flies and locusts and blood and turn Pharaoh's heart from hard to soft. I told you last week how Nebuchadnezzar couldn't even get a good night's sleep because God messed with his dreams and messed with his sleep. I'm so glad that when the kings get to their throne and they think they got it going on, that God has a way of reminding the kings that he is still in control. Come on, somebody. God didn't have to mess with Pharaoh. Pharaoh had it going on. But God said, you're going to let my people go whether you want to or not. God messed with Nebuchadnezzar's dream, his sleep. Couldn't even get a good night's sleep and had to have Daniel come and interpret his dream. They each had some plots going on. And no different than today's text. Herod did not want anybody submitted to Jesus. He wanted everyone submitted to him. Submission. The devil wants it too. And the question is, to whom are you going to be submitted? The devil or the creator? To whom are you going to give your affinity and loyalty and allegiance? You going to give it to the devil or you going to give it to God? Because don't get it twisted. There is nobody in the middle. You either going to give it to God or you going to give it to the devil. You may think you're walking in the middle. Let me give God 2 Sundays a month. Let me give the devil 2 Saturdays a month. That was supposed to be a joke. Or let me just give God every now and again. I believe in him. I love him, but I'm not really submitted to him. I want to do my own thing when I want to do it. Amen, somebody. But God is looking for those who are truly and fully submitted unto him, sold out and willing to give their life, go where he tells them to go, do what he tells them to do, say what he tells them to say, think what he wants them to think, not leaning to your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledging him. Can I say that again? Acknowledging him, and he will direct your paths. That's why I'm so glad I don't have to kiss nobody where they want to be kissed. I don't have to jump to anybody's hoops, because what I have, God gave it to me. Who I am, God made me. Where I am, God brought me to it. I don't owe anybody anything. All I got to do is give my loyalty, give my love, give my affection to God Almighty, and God will fight the battles. And boy, do I wish we had more Christians who were not owing people. People owe people their jobs. Yes, you think you do. You better realize, even if they wrote a letter for you, God gave them the breath and the body to write the letter. Herod was not submitted. And in point of fact, he was not submitted to God because he was submitted and caught up in himself. And the Bible says he did not want anybody worshiping the baby. Jesus hadn't even grown up yet, y'all. Look how insecure this brother is. Jesus is just a baby born and laid in a manger. And here the king of Israel is threatened by a baby. So much so that he says, find that baby. Come here, you three kings. I'm going to give you a covert operation, a special mission. I want you to go find this baby. You said you saw a star? Go follow that star. And when you see him, bring back his GPS location. I want to know his coordinates. I want to know what x-axis, y-axis. I want to know exactly where he is. Because if I find him, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. But what did he say? He said, I want to worship him. You better be careful, everyone that smiles ain't your friend. Everyone who say they with you, not really with you. Yeah, you got to be mindful of whose side you're on. You got to walk with the Lord every day so that you understand that he's the way maker, the door opener, the bridge builder. So he said, come here, go find them. And they went out and they followed the star. The star didn't move. They kept going to where the star was. And when they stopped and saw the star, beneath was the baby. And the Bible says they brought their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We three kings of Orient are bringing our gifts. God wants us, beloved, to bring our gifts to Jesus. And I don't know how plain I can say it. A lot of us have a lot of gifts seated in this congregation. Gifts of intellect, gifts of relationship, gifts of finance, gifts of hospitality, gifts. The Bible speaks about spiritual gifts, gifts of prophecy, gifts of relationship building. Many of us have gifts, but I always thought that many of us would bring our gifts. But Brother Oxford, I am now convinced that some of us need to be tapped on the shoulder in order to bring your gifts. But I want to challenge you, if you know you have a gift, don't wait to be tapped on the shoulder. Do what the three kings did in the Bible. I want you to get up and bring your gift to Jesus and present it to him. Present your gifts. Present your gifts. Don't sit on God. He's been too good to you. He's given you too much for you not to present your gifts. He's blessed you in ways that you don't deserve for you not to present your gifts. He woke you up this morning. That was a gift. Clothes in your right mind. That was a gift. Food on your table. Clothes on your back. Those are gifts. But far more important than any of that, giving you peace and joy and love and kindness and all the fruit of the Spirit. He's giving you gifts. I challenge you, whoever you are, as you end 2016 and get ready for 2017, and you know you've got a gift, bring your gift to Jesus and present it to him. Here's the part that I like, and I'll go to my seat on this. Once they presented their gifts to Jesus, the Bible says in verse 12, put it up, being divinely warned in a dream. It's right there in verse 12. Being divinely warned in a dream, they should not go back to Herod, but they should go another way.
I need someone here today on Christmas Sunday to remind yourself that the devil is trying to work his scheme and work his plot. But somebody need to remind the devil that he is a liar, that he is defeated, and that his plot will not come to pass. So you see, if the kings had gone back to Herod and told Herod where Jesus was, surely Herod would have killed the baby Jesus. And if your dream never get out of the birth canal, if your dream never gets given birth to, if your dream never gets brought to fruition, then the devil can thwart the end by stomping out the beginning. But God has a way of protecting what is his own. God has a way of putting his hand over you and keeping you from being destroyed. God has a way of making a way out of no way. Do I have a witness here today? Did anybody, you should have been dead and gone, but God has a way of making a way out of no way. And even when your enemy thinks they're getting away with it, God has a way. I want you to tap your neighbor and say, neighbor, God has a way.
God has a
way. Ah, the devil may think he's getting away with it, but God has a way. They thought I was left for dead, but God has a way. They didn't know how I was going to get out, but God has a way. Yes, he does. God has a way. God has a way. That's all I got to keep saying. God has a way. When I don't know where my help is going to come from, God has a way. When I'm Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I'm in the fiery furnace, God has a way. When I'm Daniel in the lion's den, and I'm about to get devoured by a lion, God has a way. God has a way. Yes, he does. God has a way. God has a way. God has a way. Who do you think warned them not to go back to Herod? God has a way. And listen, as I go to my seat, the three kings, look at the examples now. Pharaoh was hard-hearted. God sent some plagues. Messed him up. Changed his heart. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't get a good night's sleep. God messed with him. Come on, somebody. In those two cases, God intervened into the affairs of the ruler, secular ruler. But in this way, God didn't necessarily intervene with Herod. God just spoke to his people. And when he speaks to his people, that does enough to mess with the king. Come on, somebody. I just want to put Donald J. Trump on notice today that if he doesn't do right, God will speak to God's people. God will direct them how he wants them to go. And God will get his attention. Yes, he will. And at the end of the day, 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 Herod did not get what he thought he was going to get. And I'm so glad today that when your enemies are plotting against you and they think their plot is going to work out, God has a way of messing them up where they don't know what just happened. And when they look up, you on the other side, lifting up your hands, giving God a praise offering, giving God a glory, hallelujah. The Bible says that when the kings didn't go back to Herod, Herod was upset. Didn't know what to do. He issues a decree. Kill every firstborn male you can find in Egypt. And what did God tell Joseph and Mary to do? Get up from there. Go into Egypt. Hide out a little while I protect you until I deal with Herod. How many of you know that he didn't kill Jesus? And the reason I know, because I'm standing here 2,000 years later to give him the glory, to give him the praise, to give him the honor. Do I have anybody else who's got a testimony that Herod did not win? Herod's plot did not come to fruition. Jesus was saved. He went to the cross. They put nails in his hands. They put nails in his feet. But he stayed there all night Friday night. He stayed there all night Saturday night. And early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. And because he was born, he died. And because he died, he rose again. And because he rose again, I've got everlasting life. He was born to die. He was born to die for our sins. So as I end today's sermon, it is my sincere prayer that you would do one of all three of these things. Follow the star for yourself. Don't listen to other people, y'all. You better follow him for yourself. Don't slide on grandmama's religion. Don't try to hang on to husband and wife's coattails. You got to follow the star for yourself. When you find the star, bring your gift to Jesus. And once you watch your gift to Jesus and you worship him, go and tell others about him that they may worship him as well. And in so doing, the plots of the enemy will be thwarted. The plots of your naysayers won't come to pass. You'll be able to be divinely warned. God will order your footsteps and direct your paths. He'll make a way for you out of no way. He'll put you where he wants you to be. He'll give you the job he wants you to have. He'll put you in the place he wants you to be. Come on, somebody. God will make a way. God makes a way out of no way. And on Christmas morning, I just stopped by to tell somebody that God is still in the mountain moving business. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen and amen. Let's put your hands together and give the Lord a praise offering. And deaconess and clergy, help me extend the invitation to discipleship. I don't know who needed to hear the message today, but it is my prayer that it is a message that speaks to your heart, speaks to your soul, speaks to your spirit. In the name of Jesus. Choir's going to sing in a moment. Before they do, let's pray together. Father, we come before you now in the name of Jesus and ask that you would just hear the prayers of the righteous, that you, God, will speak to the hearts, minds, and souls of not just the president-elect, but of every man, every woman under the sound of my voice.
So grateful we are, Lord, for your keeping power. So grateful we are for your protecting power. Lord, in this instance, we are reminded of how you work through the kings, the magi, those who saw the star for themselves. Lord, today I pray that someone else will see the star. See the star that is Jesus. And so have your way in someone's life. If there's someone who doesn't know you, the pardon of sin, I pray that you would save them and bring them to where you want them to be. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we do pray. Let the church say amen. The invitation is extended.
He will give you brand new life.
The invitations are extended. Look at God today. Somebody give the Lord a praise offering. We got someone coming. Down, they're gonna talk to you. Anybody else today? Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? On this Christmas day, you want to get your life right with the Lord?
Come on.
I invite you to come. I invite you to come. I invite you to come in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
You who are weary and heavy laden, come.
Anyone else here today? The Lord is speaking to someone else. I believe it.
Come on.
To Christ. Come on, Christ. Stay right there. To Christ.
To Christ.
Oh, bless your name, Lord. Bless your name. To Christ.
To Christ.
Christmas Sunday morning, I invite you to come to Christ.
To Christ.
I don't know who you are, but you know who you are.
To Christ.
Step out of your seat and come and give us your hand and give God your heart.
To Christ.
Ah, bless your name, Lord. Bless your name.
To Christ.
Anyone here? Anyone else here today?
To Christ.
Anyone else here today?
To Christ.
Ah, to Christ. Come on, choir.
To Christ.
To Christ.
To Christ.
Anyone else? Anyone else?
To Christ.
Anyone else? Anyone else?
To Christ.
One more time. To Christ.
To Christ.
Give God a praise offering. Why don't you give God a praise offering? God bless you.